So let's, did you get over to Psalm 34? Psalm 34. So as we were sharing, let's read this together. I'm just going to read the first few verses here, the first nine verses. And we're talking about continual praise here. But let's read, I'm going to read from the King James and a few other versions. But this says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Isn't that interesting here? What did he say to exalt? His name together. He said to exalt his name. I sought the Lord, and he what? He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Hallelujah. The Good News Translation says, I will always thank the Lord. I will never stop praising him. I will praise him for what he has done. May all who are oppressed listen and be glad. Proclaim with me the Lord's greatness. Let us praise his name together. Hallelujah. And the New International Version, it says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. See, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. What is Psalm 100, verse 4? Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Into his courts with praise. What else to say? Be thankful unto him and do what? Bless his name. Exalt the name. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when I think about it, I grew up in a home that I never heard a curse word at home. And today, that's odd. I'm serious. I never heard a curse word at home because they just didn't curse. But some of you, and you remember, you know, you had parents that would sing and bless the Lord. You know, and I think that I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but I'll tell you, I think that some of the children today need to hear that at home. They need to hear their parents singing and blessing the Lord and exalting the name of Jesus, not grumbling and complaining about stuff going on. Or grumbling and complaining about what's going on in society. You know, you think back and think about your parents that may have been singing a song, or maybe they didn't sing it in your presence, but you heard them singing it. You heard them singing at home, and they had a joyful heart and a merry heart. So I tell you, you know, it's something to think about. You were the ones, when it said, you know, you heard them and you did what? You may not have rejoiced, but you sure reflect on it now and rejoice that what? You heard it. And you had that example at home, that you heard your parents lifting up the name of Jesus and exalting the name of Jesus, right? So I tell you, it's something that we need to think about. Turn over to Psalm 22 for a moment when we look about the significance of thanksgiving and praise. But this is a significant statement here. It says, but thou art, verse 3 and 4. It says, but thou art holy, O thou that does what? Inhabitest what? The praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. I like this. This is the New Living Translation. It says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. So God's presence is enthroned and manifested through what? Our praises. That's why I think sometimes, you know, God in his wisdom did what? He had the singers out front before the battle. Because why? His glory, his presence inhabited the praises of Israel. And so sometimes if we want his manifested presence, we're going to need to do what? Praise him and thank him and bless him. Hallelujah. You know, in the account where Jesus was raising Lazarus from the dead, and he said this statement here in verse 40. Well, let's turn over there real quick, John 11. John 11 and verse 40. And he's speaking to Martha here. And he said, you know, he said, take away the stone and so forth. And verse 40, he saith unto her, Martha, said I not unto thee that if what? Thou wouldst believe, you will what? See the glory of God. To who? To those who believe. And so the glory is the glory of God is the manifested presence of God. So just think about this here. The glory of God is not here to do what? To give us goosebumps. But the presence of God is here to deliver, to heal, to set free. And so that when the glory of God manifests, it's enthroned, his glory, his presence is manifested through the what? The praises of his saints, the praises it said in Scripture of Israel. Psalm 92, it says in verse 1, it is what? A good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And to do what? Sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Hallelujah. So as we praise God, as we go about our day, we're driving to work or we're going somewhere or we're working, you know. That's what I was doing yesterday. I was praising God. Amen. And so he inhabits the praises. In other words, you'll sense his presence. Well, how much more when we get together as the saints of God and we begin to praise God, his presence is manifested. He inhabits our praises. Hallelujah. Turn over to Philippians 4:6 for a moment. And let's look at this one scripture here. Philippians 4:6-7. And we've looked at this recently, this particular scripture, but it says, be what? Be careful or be anxious for nothing. Or some scriptures say, don't worry about one thing. This says here in the King James, be careful or be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Say with thanksgiving. Let your what? Your request be made known unto God. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this says here, we're to do what? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. I just happened to, you know, as I was looking at these notes, sometimes, not all the time, you know, I'll look at Sparkling Gems, which is Rick Renner's book, and he will take, sometimes he may have a daily entry on a particular scripture and a particular word. This happened to be one of them. And this is really, I think, significant when it talks about thanksgiving. And we talk about praise and thanksgiving unto God. He said this particular word, and I don't mean to, you know, I'm just going to read a little excerpt of what he shared here. He said this word thanksgiving that Paul uses in this verse is this Greek word eucharistia. He said it's a compound word of two words, EU and charis, CHARIS. The word EU means good or well. It denotes a general good disposition or an overwhelming good feeling about something. The word charis is the Greek word for grace. When these two words are compounded into one, see, we wouldn't know this. He's a scholar at this. He said when they're compounded into one, they form this word E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-I-A, eucharistia. He said this compound word, see, what does it say? It says we're to offer up prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. He said this compound word describes an outpouring of grace and wonderful feelings that freely flow from the heart in response to someone or something. I'm thanking him. From my what? My heart. I'm thankful unto him. And so he goes on to say, he said, by using this word, Paul teaches us that when we ask, or when we earnestly ask God to do something special for us, we must match it with an earnest outpouring of thanks. Although the request has only just been made and the manifestation isn't evident yet, it is appropriate to thank God for doing what we have requested. Thanking him in advance demonstrates faith. I'm thanking you just because you're God. You said you're going to do something for me. You said that if I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And if I know that you hear me, I have the petition that I've desired of you. So just because you said you'd do it, I thank you. You're a good God. And I'm going to lift up my voice, and I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. This comes from the heart. An outpouring of gratefulness from my heart. Grateful for what? Grateful that he saved me. Grateful that he cleansed me. Grateful that I'm not subject to this world system. Grateful that I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Grateful that I don't act goofy like I used to. Thankful that I'm not subject to those passions like I had before. I'm free, and I'm thankful. This comes from a heart of gratefulness, right? I mean, we may be walking through things in life, but thank God I've got a Father that I can go to through the mediator, Jesus, that freed me. And I have access to God the Father through Jesus. And he said, if you ask anything in my name, in the name of the Father, and in the name of Jesus, and you bring that request to the Father, he said, I'll do it. I will do it. Well, if he said he'll do it, I'm going to, out of just gratefulness, say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for giving it to me. Thank you. See, that's foolishness to the world. That's crazy for me to thank something that, because what does the scripture say? It says we're to walk by what? Faith and not by sight. So I thank him for the things that I, in the natural, I don't have it yet. But when I thank him, I'm thanking him for something invisible that I can't see yet. And my thankfulness causes it to come. And God releases that into what? Into the realm that I can see. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't, I just say it this way. What does the scripture say? It says to be carnally minded not only is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But it also says to be carnally minded is enmity with God. That's not a good place to be. So I'm going to be thankful. Now, I'm going to just take a few minutes here, just and take a look at this. It's a little mini book that Brother Hagin wrote. And he said this came through a vision that he had, I believe, back in the, I think it was either the late 40s, early 50s. He had a vision. He was caught up in the spirit. He said he had this strong urge to pray. He was with a group of people in a home, and he just said, I had this strong unction to pray. And he said, as soon as my knees hit the floor, I was in the spirit. And he said, I was caught up in the spirit. And he said, Jesus appeared to me in this vision. He said he was 3 feet from me. He said, I could see him. And he began to share some things with me. This is what Brother Hagin said. He began to share some things about his ministry and the scripture. And he said to him, this is what he said. He said, in this vision that he appeared to him, Jesus said to him, if anybody, anywhere, will take these four steps or put these four principles into operation, he will always, always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. Say always.
Always.
Man, I'm telling you. Always. Always. He said, this comes from the head of the church. This comes from our Lord. He said, if you will take these four steps and you will put them into operation, and you will always receive whatever it is that you desire or want, he said, from me or from God the Father. So I don't care what it is you're faced with. He said, always. You want to know what those four steps are? Because they apply, you know, Jesus, you know, like Brother Hagin used to say, he'd say, well, you're just going to have to show me that in the Word. Because if it's not in the Word, then it was that vision was not from God. So he told him, get out a pen, write down 1, 2, 3, 4. These are the four steps. It's real simple. Say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. And so after he heard that, he said, well, Lord, you're going to have to show me that in the Scripture. So, you know, when I was looking at this, I said, you know, you can see that principle in Psalm 34. You can see it right in the first few verses of Psalm 34. Say it, do it, I will do what? I will praise the Lord, what? Continually. So say it, do it, receive it. What is Psalm 34? He said, this man cried and he delivered me. He received. I'm telling you, you can look at these scriptures and see this principle, and if you will do it, you will receive whatever it is you need. But of course, the Lord showed Brother Hagin, you know, that he showed him a number of examples. He used the woman with the issue of blood. She said it. She did it. She pressed in the crowd. She touched the hem of his garment. She said, if I touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She did it. She received. And the telling, it said, she came and knelt down in front of Jesus, told him all the truth. She said it. She told it. She said, and not only did he hear it, but everybody around heard it. So she told it. And so, let's just take these things here. Say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. Look at verse 1, Psalm 34. Say it. I will what? I will bless the Lord at all times. Just stop right there. I will bless. I choose. Just like the woman, she said she heard of Jesus. And I will, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She said it. This right here, I'm saying it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His what? His praise shall continually. That's the doing part right there. I choose. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And then what? It says here, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall what? Make her boast in the Lord. You can almost say here, this is the telling part right here. Look, the humble shall what? Hear thereof and be glad. I mean, these four steps are right in here. If you do this, you're going to receive what it is you need from God. What does it continue to say? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He did what? He heard me and did what? He delivered me from my fears. There's the receiving part. Say it, do it, receive it. They were delivered from their fears. They looked upon him, were enlightened, their faces were not ashamed. This poor man did what? Cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and did what? Saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. Now here you could say verse 8 is the telling part. This is David saying, oh, taste. He's telling it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He's telling it, is he not? You can see these principles or these operations here. Say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Here's the look, what does it say? For there is no want to them that fear him. No want. That's exactly what Jesus said. If you put these four things in place, he said, there is nothing. He said, you will always receive. That's what he said. You will always receive whatever he wants from me or from the Father. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? That's good news to me. That gives me a reason to praise him. Not only just because I receive, I mean, he's good. So I'm going to praise him. I'm going to bless him. I mean, look, you've got to make a choice. How many just want to get up and praise the Lord every morning? There's times your flesh just says, I don't want to. I don't want to. You know, how many have had, when I say pressure, the thoughts, and you just pushed through and decided, you know what, I'm just going to praise God. I'm just going to bless him. And when you look back, you go, boy, I'd have missed God by a country mile if I had just laid down and not praised him. Or make your way to church or whatever that is, right? Or done something that you were going to do, but you didn't want to do, but you pressed your way through anyways. And somebody got blessed because you did. We need to make a choice to bless God. How often? All times, continually. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I mean, that, you know, when you think about this, think about how we're made. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We have a free choice. God will let us just do nothing. He'll let us go to hell. He'll let us not bless him, and yet he loves us. He'll just let us make that choice. What does the scripture say? What things soever you bind on earth, or forbid on earth, or forbidden in heaven. Whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. We're made in his image and likeness. We are given the right to make a choice. And so we can choose to bless him and exalt him and praise him and be thankful unto him. And so to me, when the head of the church gives some instructions like that, it's worth paying attention to it, right? So faith, and this is why the devil fights this so hard, he knows that when you get the word of God in your heart and faith comes, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, faith comes But faith has to be acted upon, otherwise it's dead. It doesn't produce anything. So I may have thanksgiving in my heart when David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. But what did he continue? He said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That was the action. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So you could have a desire to bless the Lord, but not utter it, not say it. You know how when people say, I've heard couples share this, or I've heard it in a joke form. They said, well, you know I love you. I told you 35 years ago. Be good to hear it. And that's kind of the same way where God is. You say, well, you know I love you. Yeah. Be good to hear it. It'd be good to hear you praise his name. It'd be good to hear you exalt his name. If he's good, then say so. Hallelujah. And this is where faith comes in. Let's look at Psalm 35. Verse 27 and 28. Psalm 35, verse 27 and 28. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say what? Continually. Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. I tell you, you know, for me, and I don't know about you, but when you get physically tired, one of the things the Lord has been speaking to me more clearly lately is that when you're busy and you get tired and your flesh gets tired, sometimes you want to just lay down. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's been speaking to me. I want you to pray more in the Spirit. I want you to pray more in the Spirit. Because your spirit is what? Edified. Your spirit is what? Built up. Your spirit is charged when you pray in tongues. Now, I pray in tongues a lot, just not enough. He's saying, I want you to pray more in tongues. Because you keep running, you keep running, you keep doing. You're physically and spiritually, you put out. You've got to pray in the Holy Ghost. And out of that praying, you're charged, you're built up. You're not going to be subject to the pressures of life. That's not just me, that's you all. The pressures of life, the forces that push against us, all of this stuff that pushes against us is meant to do what? Pressure you into, I don't want to praise God. I'm just so tired. Let me just go home. Let me just veg out. Let me turn on the TV and just veg out. And then it's like people say, I need a vacation. And then they go on vacation. All they did was cater to their flesh. Nothing wrong with that. But did you build up your spirit? You come home and say, I need another vacation. Because all you did was minister to your flesh. You didn't do anything for your spirit. You didn't build it up. I'm not saying don't go on vacation and minister to your flesh. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is every day, take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because as you get built up, it's going to be easier to bless his name. It's going to be easier to thank him. It's going to be easier for praise to be continually upon your lips. Is that not true? So you can see how all these things work together. God knew that we would have all of these forces and pressures in life. But he gave us who? The Helper, the Holy Ghost, who resides in us. Take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Take time. So that you get built up and charged. I know what I do. I mean, if I'm driving from here to Pennsylvania, that's an hour and a half. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't listen to the radio. I won't. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not telling you you should or shouldn't. I'm telling you what I'm doing. I need to get what? Built up and edified and strengthened with might in my inner man. So that when stuff comes, I'm not like, exactly, a basket case. Not knowing what to do. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And the Lord says, you got the answer right inside of you. You'll know what to do. So let's say that as we close. I will what? Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God. And what are we going to do? These four steps, we're going to say it, we're going to do it, we're going to praise him, we're going to receive his blessings, his presence, and we're going to tell it. Let the humble hear thereof and be glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. My spirit's already excited. My spirit's already stirred up. My spirit is already ignited. Because when we just talk about praising him, what does it say? He inhabits the praises of his people. So as we begin to praise him, he comes in. He comes in to do what? Bless us. He comes in to deliver us. He comes in to lift us up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Helper, the Comforter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for working in us and building us up by praying in the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And we choose to take time to pray. Take time to pray in the Spirit. Take time to get charged up so that we become full of gratefulness, full of thankfulness, full of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're so grateful, Father, this day for sending Jesus to this earth. We're so grateful that he came to take our sins and to reconcile us to you. We're so grateful and thankful that we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We're so thankful that we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. We're so grateful that we're a joint heir with you, with Jesus, and we're an heir of God. We're so grateful, Father, that we are part of a body, and we thank you, the body of Christ. And we're so grateful that Jesus is coming soon. And we thank you, Father, that you inhabit our praises. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father, for it. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, I just say this. I remember just coming to my thinking here. When we started having services in Pennsylvania, first service was September 7th, 2003. That was actually the first service. And, or call it an inaugural service. But after that, we started holding services not long after that in the evenings. And then, of course, in 2008, we switched to morning services. But I remember standing on the platform, getting ready to teach, and it was during praise and worship. Remember, I had my hands lifted up, and I heard right down here, I heard his voice. He said, if you will come and worship me here, I will push back the darkness that's held sway in this area. That's exactly the way he said it. So sometimes we do not realize the effectiveness of our worship and our praise. When we begin to praise and we begin to worship, he becomes what? He inhabits our praise. And God begins to work in an area. This can be in your own life. This can be in your home. Stuff can be going on. If you just create an atmosphere of worship, it will push darkness out. It will push darkness out. And it'll do it in your neighborhood. It'll do it in your community. A people that will praise him will infect and affect a community. The devil won't have access because the glory of God will be present. Hallelujah. So I just share that because as we come on Sundays or Wednesdays and Fridays, bring your supply with you. You know what I mean by that? Bring your supply of praise. Bring your supply of thankfulness. And as we all hook up together, it'll create this mighty, glorious atmosphere where God can work and operate. Amen. So come prayed up. Come with your supply. You may say, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I have any supply. You have a supply. And just come and make a decision that when I come, I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him for all he's doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God.